Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. I want to begin reading in verse 35 and look at the remainder of that chapter this afternoon, the Lord's willing. I want to look at chapter 5. Let's begin in verse 25, Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Mark 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat unto the ship, so that it was now full, our margin says filling. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, curest not thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, I have preached on this several times from this passage, and sometimes I have looked at it and spiritualized it, and I've heard other dear preachers do that, and a lot of good spiritual lessons can be learned from spiritualizing this and the fifth chapter that we'll look at this afternoon. But really, we don't have to do that. I love to look at these events just as they happened. This really happened. And I think as we look at it just as it happened, it suggests to our mind a lot of spiritual principles. But this is a wonderful thing in and of itself, that the Lord Jesus called these men, his disciples, in this ship. And on their way over to the other side, about, it depends on whether they went 10, 12, 13 miles away, and they encountered this awful storm in the midst of the sea and got through the storm and went on to the other side. And it's amazing and wonderful story when we look at it just as it's given us here in its teaching. And that's what I want to do. And the first thing I want to do, I want to look at the context of this. Because he says here in verse 35, And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side. In verse 36, when they had sent away the multitude. Now he gives this command, he gives these instructions, Let us pass over to the other side. But I want to show you from the book of Matthew, if you'll turn over there in Matthew, the parallel passage to this, you can put your little holder there in Mark chapter 4 if you'd like to. But here's the context of this. It's amazing what happened. Just as the Lord said, get in the ship and follow me to the other side. And in Matthew chapter 8, and here in verse 18, I want you to know what happens. This is very instructive. Matthew chapter 8, and look in verse 18. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath no place to lay his head. Now, nobody knew, nobody in this whole crowd, even our Lord's dear disciples, had no idea what they were going to face between this shore and the next shore to where they were going. And this scribe had no idea what it was going to take to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And this dear man here put so much confidence in his will and in the power of it. Did you notice how he says it? I will follow you wherever you go. Now, you better be careful, hadn't you? A man better be careful. I mean, if you're following me, you may say, Bruce, everywhere you go, I'm right behind you, buddy. And you may do it. But listen, when you follow the Son of God, when you follow Him everywhere He went, I mean, this man gets you in trouble. Everywhere the Lord went, there was trouble awaiting Him, and trials, and heartaches. And this man had no idea. And I think this is what made him say, Lord, I will. My will is so strong that wherever you go, I'll follow you. But you can say that when you're standing on the beach. And it's evening and it's cool and you got a beautiful sunset that you're looking at and a friendly crowd is around you. But how is that will going to hold up when you're out in the middle of the sea in the midst of a raging storm? I think these people that put so much confidence and stock in the power of their will, God has never taught them, has He? He's never taught them how fickle the will is and how weak the will is. But that's what this man said. Wherever you go, I'll follow you. Well, that's good. Bless God, it's good to have a resolve. And God give us all that resolve. But I tell you, God strip us from this vain confidence that we may have and thinking that we can do it apart from grace. This man put a lot of confidence in his will. But something else here in verse 21, look at this. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now, Luke adds another one to this account. He tells there was another man said, Lord, I'll follow you, but suffer me first to go say goodbye to those that are in my house. And the Lord Jesus answered him this way, no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Boy, I tell you what. One thing I've found out, brothers and sisters. If you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to take grace. There was a little phrase a few years, maybe in the 80s or early 90s. This little phrase come up. It's fun being saved. Anybody remember that? It's fun being saved. Well, listen, I've never known such joy. I've never known such peace of heart as it is when the Lord saved my soul. But I'm telling you this, it's not fun in games, is it? It's not fun in games. And that's what the Lord Jesus is telling these fellows here. You going to follow me? It ain't going to be by the power of your will. You going to follow me? Then you're going to have to deny yourself and deny your family and those that are at your house. And it may sound harsh. It may sound uncaring. But listen, brothers and sisters, if we're going to follow Jesus Christ, we can't follow Him with this attitude, me first. I'll follow you, but me first. And boy, we reach this conclusion. When the Lord Jesus was ready to push out from the coast, we can reach this conclusion. Ain't nobody going to follow Him that knows what the consequences are going to be. But those who have had a new birth, those who have been converted, and those who follow Him in a power outside themselves. That's the only way, isn't it? These fellows were standing there on the seashore and they were fishermen. Boy, these fellows had fished this sea and they may have been standing there looking out over the Sea of Galilee And it was evening time, and they probably thought to themselves, Peter, James, and John, they probably thought to themselves, boy, now I've fished this sea. I know every spot on this sea to fish. And I don't know about taking off from this side all the way to the other side. Because we're going to get out to our ways and it's going to be dark. And I know what can happen out on that sea. I wonder if they were just a little bit apprehensive about it. Well, I tell you this, there was one man said in this pulpit not long ago, and I agree with it. He said, you want some afflictions? You want some trials of your heart? You want your soul to be humbled? You want to do the most difficult thing you ever dreamed of doing? He said, take up your cross and follow Jesus Christ. And that's the truth, isn't it? That's the truth. And this man who had this strength of will to do it when he took off from shore, I bet you he was humbled when he got out in the midst of this storm. I bet you then he realized if he got on this boat, when he got out there in the storm, he said, Lord Jesus, I had no idea what you'd get me into. I need grace. I need strength. I need help. I need help. He said, let us go over to the other side. That's the first thing. The second thing I want us to see is this. And all three of these writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, mentions this. Mark says, let us pass over unto the other side. And Luke says this, let us go over to the other side of the lake. But Matthew says it like this, Jesus gave commandment to depart unto the other side. Now here's something that's concerning. Here's something that's awakening, and here's something that's also comforting. Here's something that's awakening, and here's something that's comforting. The Lord Jesus was going to the other side. And if you were going to follow Him, you had no choice but to get in that boat and follow Him. Now, as I just said, if you don't know the consequences of following Him, then you may get on that boat and out you go and say, man, isn't this fun? But here's something, brothers and sisters, about following the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some headaches to it. There's some heartaches to it. If you don't believe it, you ask men like Moses. You ask men like Moses. Lord, you told me that you'd be with me. And now you've not told me who you're going to send with me. And you put this awful burden upon me to lead this people. And if you don't help me, you might as well kill me now. Ain't that what he said? Ask Jeremiah. The Lord called Jeremiah, and Jeremiah didn't want to go. And the Lord said, you go preach to the people. And Jeremiah went to preach to the people, and they put him down in a pit. And he was up to his knees in mud. And you know what he said to the Lord? You've deceived me. You've deceived me. You didn't tell me how rough this was going to be. And we looked at Jonah, didn't we? We looked at Jonah, what a rough time he had coming to grips with what the Lord called him to do. And look at these apostles. They made whipping posts out of these men. They hated them. They said, this world counts us as the offscoring, the filth of all things. And Christ called them to follow Him. Here's the awakening thing about this. When He calls you to follow Him, you're in trouble. Sometimes I ask Esther when she comes in on Sunday morning, sometimes I'll say, Esther, have you had a good week? And she says, I'm fighting. I'm fighting. Isn't that your experience? I'm fighting. You ever got in some storms? We have, haven't we? We have. And here's the awakening thing. Once these men got in this boat, there was no getting out until they reached the other side. Huh? You can't get out, can you? How were they going to get out? You can't get in the midst of the storm and say, I'm going back. You can't. And when the Lord calls you and gives you a will and a heart to serve Him, I'm telling you, you can't quit. You can't not follow Him when the storm comes. Can you quit believing? Can you quit following Him? Wherever He leads you, that's where you're going. That's what I'm saying. You say, well, I may and I may not. No, not in this. There's no may nots. Where He leads you, you're going. You're going. You can't a bit more not follow Christ than these men could get out of this ship halfway across this lake. You don't know where Christ is going to lead you next. If it's in green pastures and beside the still waters or through the floods and the fires. But one thing's for certain, wherever He leads you, that's where you're going. Now that's serious, isn't it? That's serious. That is serious. But there's something here too, brothers and sisters, that's very comforting, and these disciples missed it. They hadn't learned to listen close enough. And they miss what the Lord Jesus said. Here's what He said. Let us pass over unto the other side. Did you catch that? They didn't catch that. And because they didn't catch that, they got out in the middle of this lake and they become very fearful that they would not make it to the other side. What was between them and the other side? They did not know. But this they could have easily known, and if they had believed it, the journey would have been much more pleasant than it was. Believe what? That their destination had been fixed. Was there any chance at all that they would not make it to the other side? The Lord Jesus said, let us depart unto the other side. Read chapter 5 and verse 1. And what does that say? And they came unto the other side. That was pretty fixed, wasn't it? If they had believed this, they wouldn't have been fearful and doubtful and fretful in the midst of this sea. And He even gave the command. He gave commandment to depart to the other side. I love the verse that Clarence read this morning in Psalm 71. He gave commandment to save me. Ain't that wonderful? He gave commandment to save me. I used to have a cousin and he and I used to go around all the time. We liked each other, but we could not agree on the Scriptures. And I'd quote Scriptures to him and I'd quote Scriptures to him like, Junior, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And you know what He'd say? Yes, but now, Bruce, but. And I'd quote another unto it. He that eateth of this bread hath everlasting life. Yes, Bruce, but. He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall never come into condemnation. Yes, Bruce, but. Men may argue theories. And they may out-argue you and me in their theories. But you cannot argue against facts. And we have fact, don't we? Let us pass over unto the other side. And they came over unto the other side. That's fact, isn't it? And you can make all the hypotheticals you want to, but you can't argue against fact. They got in this ship, just like the Master said, they went to the other side. I had a friend of mine, and he made the silliest statement one time. It's been probably 30 years ago, but I never have forgot it. I remember when he made it to me and everything. It just shocked me when he made it. He said, I wouldn't want a salvation that I couldn't lose. I thought, man, you have no idea the preciousness of your soul. If you had a precious soul, you'd say that right the other way. I don't want a salvation that I can lose. I don't want a salvation that I can't lose. Have you ever heard of such a ridiculous statement in all your life? That's like one of these disciples running up on the ship where our Lord is and say, is there any chance that this ship is not going to make it to the other side? No, buddy, this ship ain't going down. It's going to land on the other side. Well, I don't want on this ship. I'm going to find that ship over there. It's got some holes in it or some rotten boards, because I really don't care if I make it or not. Isn't that ugly, utterly ridiculous? How do you feel about your soul, brothers and sisters? Is it worth more to you than this world? How do you feel if you ever think that you're going to lose it? I tell you, I've had those doubts and fears, and I tell you, it's torment, ain't it? I'm glad that once you're in Christ, you're always in Christ. When He puts you in the ship to follow Him, He'll land you safely on heaven's coast. Grace begun is heaven won. I love that, don't you? I love that. I love the fact that He said, let us go unto the other side. And we have it here where they landed safely on the other coast. Following the Lord can be a burdensome trip. It can be some heartaches and trials. The waves beat unto this ship. But I think a burden that would be unbearable would be to be in the midst of the storm and you had to carry this burden. I may lose myself. You can bear the burdens. The Lord will give you grace to follow Him. But I tell you what, if you're full of doubts and fears that He's not going to bring you to the other side, that's almost a burden you can't bear, isn't it? Has Christ called you? Has He given you a heart to know Him and follow Him? Then be assured of this, that He which called you will keep you in the midst of your trials and land you safe there in the Father's house. Why are you fearful? Ain't that what He asked them? Why are you fearful? Well, you know why they were fearful? Little faith. He says here to them, where's your faith? You have no faith. In another place He said, it's your little faith. And what He's simply meaning here, where is your faith in what I've said? Why were they fearful? They missed the word, let us go over unto the other side. What caused them to be fearful? They didn't believe His word, did they? Brothers and sisters, when we read God's word, read it very slowly. I mean, this copy and paste, that won't get it. It just won't get it. Turn over there and read it slowly and prayerfully and get it down in your heart. Let us pass over to the other side. If we need assurance, you know where you're going to get it? You ain't going to get it from your feelings. I mean, when you're out in the midst of the storm and your little boat's filling up, you ain't going to feel too good. There's one place to get assurance, and that's from God's Word. Except you believe, surely you shall not be established. Listen to this. Believe in the Lord. Believe in the Lord. So shall you be established. Believe His prophets, and so shall you prosper. Prosper in assurance. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that believe in you may have life through His name. Listen to this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. These things have I written that you may know. How can you know? By what's written. By what's written. Let us pass over to the other side. Isn't that assurance enough? Let us pass over to the other side. There may come times in your Christian trials when your reasoning and your present circumstances and all the evidence that you seem to have may be against you. May be against your making it at last. But if the Lord Jesus commanded you to get in the ship in the beginning, if He gave you grace to throw in your lot with Him and leave the shore from the other side, then there is something greater than your carnal reasonings and something greater than your present circumstances. And what is it? His Word. His Word. Let us pass over unto the other side. A true believer may be filled with doubt and distrust in the time of severe trials. And distrust will bring doubts and fear and impatience and harsh judgments even towards our Lord and Savior. That's what unbelief does. Why are you so fearful? What's the answer to that? Unbelief. Unbelief. Master, we perish. Why such reasonings as that? Were they going to perish? Let's be honest about it. Were they going to perish? That was what they reasoned. They looked around them in the waves. They looked down in the dark waters. We perish. Why did they reason that way? Unbelief. Unbelief. Master, don't you care? Why such harsh judgment against their master? Don't you care? You ever get mad at the Lord? You have problems with your trials that you're in? You get impatient? You know what causes us to get in such a state of mind? Unbelief. Unbelief. Here will cure this unbelief. Exercise your faith in what He has said. When you believe what He said, you believe Him. If He was here this morning, He wouldn't tell you anything but what He's already told you in His Word. That's it, isn't it? Let us pass over. Believe Him. Believe Him. Wouldn't it have been much better for these disciples and more honoring to the Lord Jesus for them to have believed Him and landed safe on the other coast and then come up to Him and said, Master, it happened just like you said it would. We enjoyed the trip. We enjoyed the trip. Wouldn't that have been much better than having to land on the coast and apologizing for their misjudgments and their fears and doubts? Wouldn't it? Rather than apologizing, they could have said, Lord, I believe You. But you know the Lord's so tender, isn't He? We never read that He confronted them after this. We never read that He got on the shore and turned to them and said, you bunch of rascals. You just grieve me to death. What's the matter with you? You going to pay for this? He don't take offenses personally, does He? Oh, bless His gracious name. We offend Him and we confess it and He forgives us and we just go on and He forgets it. Blessed be His wonderful name. In spite of their doubts, in spite of their fears, they landed safe on the other coast. And listen to this. Some of the Lord's true children, some of His most faithful children, are going to doubt and fear all the way to heaven. We just read the song. We just sang the song by William Cowper. What was that we just sang? Was it Nothing But the Blood? Something about the blood? William Cowper wrote. Do you ever read the history of poor William Cowper? He lived in doubts and fears. Tried to kill himself two or three times. And just a few days before the Lord took him, he was so sick. And they said, finally, he reached his hands up towards heaven and said, oh, I'm not rejected, I'm not rejected. Doubted and feared all the way to the gate of heaven. Can a child of God do that? These men did, in the very presence of the Lord Jesus. But brothers and sisters, I see no reason why we should, if the Lord is true. Believe Him. Believe Him. Two more things right quickly. Right quickly. And I want to bring this out because it's here in the text. And every time this is in the text, we need to bring this out. Jesus Christ was truly man, wasn't He? Look at what He said in verse 38. And He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake Him. They had to wake Him up. He was truly man, wasn't He? Asleep on a pillow and had to be wakened. Jesus Christ was a man. In every sense of the word, He was a man. He had a real human body. He had a real human soul. In every sense that you're a man, and I'm a man, He was a man. Sin accepted. But He had a human nature, didn't He? I mean, He got tired, and He had to lay down and rest. When He got hungry, He had to eat. When He got thirsty, He had to drink. He could be tempted and was tempted in all points, like as you are and I am. And I tell you, He could cry, couldn't He? Jesus wept. And He could feel in His human soul. He could feel. And I tell you, He could die, couldn't He? He could die. And you know, none of these things are said about God. God don't get weary. He never gets thirsty. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you. He sure can't suffer and die. And this is the mystery of this wonderful person. He's both God and man. And here we see His manhood, because there He lays, and He's tired, and He's worn, and He's asleep. So sound asleep that the storm don't even wake Him. He's a man. Oh, but He's God too, isn't He? Because He rose up and said, be still. You be still. A mere man can't speak to the ocean. Spurgeon was telling about Bonaparte. And he won a big battle, and he took his chair down and sat on the beach and said, I'm going to defy the tide. And Spurgeon said if he hadn't moved his little chair, it would have washed him and his chair away. Man has no control over the oceans. He can't speak to the wind. It blows where it will. But when Christ speaks, it obeys. Why? He's its creator, isn't He? He's the God-man. He's really and truly man. And He's really and truly God. And here in verse 36, lastly, I thought this was something that was interesting. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And look at this. We don't hear anything else said about this. And there were also with Him other little ships. And here's the point I want to make out of this. How these other little ships profited from Christ being in the ship with His people. When He said, peace be still, the whole sea became a calm. And listen, everybody on that sea benefited from that, didn't they? Even those who had no idea what just happened, they benefited from Christ's presence with His people. And I'm saying this, Look how parts of the world has benefited from Christ's presence in His church. Look how our country has benefited, brothers and sisters. Some may not believe this or acknowledge this. I know atheists would never acknowledge it. But look how our own country has benefited because Christ is here in His church. There's parts of the world that it's not like it is here, brothers and sisters. I ain't been out of this country but one or two places. But the last time I went out of this country, I almost kissed the ground when I got back here. Ice countries where the police was running around big rifles on their shoulder. And if you left without your paperwork, you had to go back and get it. This country has been blessed, has it not? We talk about the American dream of owning a house and having some property and having safe neighborhoods and the citizens being respectful one with another. You know where that really comes from? That's not the American dream. That comes from Christ's presence in His church here in this country. That's where that comes from. And you know something? We may never realize that, brothers and sisters, till we've lost it. Till we've lost it. These little ships may have had no idea why the storm was calmed. But those in the ship knew it. They knew it. And you and I look over this vast country at the liberties we've had, the freedoms that we've enjoyed, and the privileges, and we attribute it to one thing, Jesus Christ's presence with His church. Everywhere the gospel is established, it elevates everything, doesn't it? It just elevates everything. Education. I was going to print out a little article, and I forgot it this morning, but it talks about all of the universities that was established by professed believers and by the churches. And it's amazing, the old institution that started out so great and gave wonderful education to people was started by professed Christians. I wonder how many good universities atheists have founded. I bet not very many have. I tell you this, and you ladies be interested in this. Everywhere the gospel is established, everywhere Christ is present in His church, it elevates women. It elevates women. There are some countries and some periods in countries that every lady here this morning, you'd be a second-class citizen. Do you know that? At best. And in some places, treated like property. The gospel has elevated you. It's Christ that told the man, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And where that's put into practice, it's just like showers coming down from heaven and waters the communities and waters the country and brings forth fruit. You ladies, would you like to live under the old ungodly doctrine and religion of Mormonism? You like to share your husband with a couple of more wives? I was reading the story of Joseph Smith and why he had to leave Missouri and go west. You know why? The gospel ran him off. He couldn't take the criticism, the exposure. The gospel exposed him. You don't want to live under that, do you? What about Islam? You new ladies here would like to live under that? You know what's bothering me more than anything in this day about that? You've got these women, bless their hearts, these feminist movement, and they hate Christianity. They hate Christ. They hate His gospel. And they won't hardly say anything about Islam, when it's the gospel all along that has elevated them to the freedom and privileges that they have. Wait till Islam takes over. And these ladies now that hate Christ and His gospel have to robe themselves and look through little peepholes in the veil to see what's going on. You don't want that, do you? We gather here this morning, and I can tell you, dear sisters, the same thing I can tell you, brethren. We are one in Christ. Islam doesn't believe such a thing. You ladies want to be forced to conjure up that old Baal image of the crescent moon and be made to bow to that God who cannot save? Oh, God, deliver us from that wretched, violent religion. And especially you women. And I tell you what will deliver us from it. The gospel. The gospel. Look what it does for the country. Look what it does for your community. Look what it does for families. It elevates everybody, doesn't it? It brings the calm. Just like the Lord Jesus speaking here. And it brought the calm. This world is full of storms of all kinds. Economic storms, social storms, civil storms, moral storms. And who is better off in these storms? Who is better off in these storms? You'd like to live in North Korea? That's a dark place, ain't it? And you know why it's dark? Christ is not there in His church. We have trouble here too, don't we? We have the storms. But who's better off than anywhere else but that place where Christ is sovereignly and graciously present with His church? A lot of benefits where Christ is present. A lot of benefits. May God bless His message. Let's pray.